Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
We want to talk Zoom calls, because that really has just become the way of us doing business and having meeting. But it's not easy. And I've noticed certainly that in many meetings that I'm attending, there's a handful of people who will always turn their cameras on, and then there are others who just could think of nothing worse. What is the impact of these cameras? We're joined this morning by Michael Turon. He is a healthcare practitioner specializing as a clinical psychologist. Good morning. How are you? Thanks for joining
us. Good morning. I'm well, and you?
I am well, thank you as well. So the whole notion of cameras, it is fairly intrusive, because you land up watching yourself as well, whereas you normally don't do that in another meeting. How much impact does this have? Are they good? Is it good to have cameras on? Is it bad? What is the current thinking?
Well, I think that, you know, I think that what's got to be taken into consideration is that it's become a whole new way of working for the majority of people. So that in and of itself, just adjusting to this new work sort of environment where you're working from home and now having to use technology, in and of itself has created a lot of stress. In terms of the cameras, yes, suddenly we're watching ourselves as we are engaging in these meetings, so that can produce what we refer to as performance anxiety, because not only are we critiquing ourselves, but we're worried that everyone else is critiquing us at the same time.
So we land up watching ourselves, and we almost take ourselves outside, watching ourselves inward. Maybe it's a constant reminder that we are being critiqued during these meetings.
Well, you know, I'm not necessarily saying that's what happens, but for a lot of people, we become far more self-conscious than if we were just sitting in a boardroom, in a meeting. You know, now we're aware of ourselves in that meeting, whereas normally, you know, we're not observing ourselves, so to speak, visually. Yeah.
And the flip side of that is that we don't get to see other people's faces. Obviously now, with life being getting back to normal, we are able to have in-person meetings. But the reality is that a lot of people still are working from home.
Yes, and then there's also a whole lot of factors which need to be taken into consideration. So, for example, when we're at the office, if we are going to a meeting, we get up, we walk, we go to the place where the meeting is. We'll have the meeting, we come back. So there are these breaks where we're exercising and where we're moving, or we're getting in our car and we're driving to the meeting, or whatever the case may be. When you're working from home, there's this tendency to just literally go from meeting to meeting to meeting. And so you're never ever leaving that desk. You're just constantly sitting in front of your computer, you know.
So
there isn't that change and movement, yeah.
So should we be encouraging people to get back to an office, whether it's for a few days a week or every day? Is it much healthier overall for our mental health to be in that environment?
Most definitely, because it forces us to get up and go. And, you know, when we're working from home, there is a blurring of context. So, in other words, when we're at the office, we're at the office. So we're able to focus on the work that we're doing. When we're at home, this is the place where we normally relax. We normally unwind. It's our place of safety and security. It's our own little special place. Now the office is in our home. So it's very difficult for people to switch off between work and home, because that has become blurred. Those lines have become blurred, you know.
Yeah, and it was interesting, because we were talking earlier about this trend that is apparently taking place, where couples go on, you know, separate for a bit, almost try that out, live a little bit separately, then come back together. And we were saying that in the whereas I find that a little bit concerning, the fact that we're all working at home definitely is detrimental, because when you do go out for the day and come back, there's news to share, there's news from the outside world, and you it is much more energizing than being in the same environment over and over.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's one of the reasons why the divorce rate has shot up ever since COVID, and working at home, because suddenly you're in the same space 24 hours a day. There's no break. There's no, as you say, there's no news. There's nothing much to share.
Right. And even going back to the work thing, when we're going, and I've noticed that some days you're just back to back with one online meeting to another, it's very hard to actually process that meeting, to think about what was actually said.
No, absolutely. And I think getting back to the cameras, remember that approximately 80% of our communication is nonverbal. So when we're on one-on-one, we are subconsciously reading the nonverbal communication. Now, when you're doing it over the camera, the brain is having to work extra hard to try and pick up those nonverbal cues. And that's one of the reasons why it's so exhausting, because you're working so much harder to try and follow. And then very often, you know, you're distracted by that, because now your concentration is being pulled in order to try and gather all of that nonverbal communication that would just happen naturally in a one-on-one. And if you were in the room, yeah.
Very, very real reasons to start having in-person meetings. Michael Turon, healthcare practitioner specializing as a clinical psychologist, talking to us about the impact of Zoom cameras and Zoom meetings.